Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with this due time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? Ah, that's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Oh, we had a wonderful Let's Talk About It Tuesday Church Folk Day. As things got a little stirred up yesterday, yes, we had our Pastor Charlotte Beard, and we had guests yesterday, our Pastors Ed and our Minister AJ, could not make it. And we had our Lady Tamika and our Pastor KL on us from the Due Time crew. Yes, they lent us a hand yesterday. And we talked about the lies the enemy tells us and people believe. Yes, we did. It was quite some conversation. We talked about the fact that the enemy has told us that righteousness isn't important to us anymore as it used to be. Yes, you know, back in the day, great-great-grandma and, you know, grandma and them and old Uncle Joe, you know, they were more holy than we were. There was a need for them to be more holy than we need to be now, and all of the stuff that they did back then, you know, in order to make God happy. And, you know, they spent all that kind of time up in church. It was church 7 days a week. We don't need that now. Well, I don't know. You know, yeah, we don't need to be sitting up in the church house all them days. But I, you know, sometimes you wonder. Sometimes it makes you wonder the way folk act. Maybe if they just sat up in the church a little bit more. Yeah. You know, some people believe you ain't got to go to church at all to serve the Lord. They ain't got to be a part of the regimen. Yes. So we definitely dispelled that rumor. And the lie of the enemy tells us that it's a free country and we can do whatever it is we please. You know, listen, I don't have to obey the rules. I don't have to do this if I don't want to. I don't have to do that if I don't want to. And, you know, it's fine. It's fine as long as I want to do it. I don't have to do anything else that I don't want to have to do. You know, where do people get this mentality from? Yes, you know, we're going to have to answer to somebody until the day God closes our eyes. And we will always have to answer to God. So we will never be able to do whatever it is we please, whether it's a free country or not, or whether we're living in a dictatorship. We're always going to have to find some level of streamlining rules in our life. Yes, what would life be like without rules? You know what? I'm be honest. I don't think I want to live in a lawless life. No, that's just a little too much for me. A little too much for Stephanie. Because if people are living like this with the law, what in the world are they going to do, or would they do, without a set of rules? And No. So it doesn't matter whether it's a free country or not. We should do what we are supposed to do. You know, there is still a Bible and a God that we have to follow. Okay, what else did we talk about with the lies? What other lie? Oh, a little overspending won't kill you. Oh, won't hurt you. Won't do nothing to you. And I don't know about all of that, y'all. You know, how many times, and you know, this was brought up yesterday, how many times have we spent that tithe money for the rent money or for the bill money, or just because I had to do this or just because I had to do that, and I'm going to make it back as long as I get it into the plate on, you know, during service. And we got a little shock because God didn't replace it, and we were scratching our head trying to figure out how we were going to make it work. So that there went that. Yeah, it did hurt us, didn't it? And it always will. Whenever you're spending God's money and you don't pay your tithes first, or whenever you're spending God's money, period, erroneously. And let me remind you that any money we get is God's money. He owns it all. It all belongs to him. Oh, did we forget that? So, whenever we look at it like that, that's when we will be so sadly reminded that it all belongs to him, and a little overspending will do a whole lot of damage at times. Yeah. That's it. Even Pastor Charlene yesterday said, you know, her overspending was on food. Well, listen, whether it's on food or anything else, is God happy about you spending his money? Yeah, because it don't matter. You know, sometimes we get caught in a cycle where we're, you know, maybe we, in our early years, you know, our parents didn't have it, and you know, we weren't eating the way we should have been eating, or maybe the way we wanted to eat. And we swore that when we got older, our cabinets would never be bare. Our refrigerators would never be bare. So it didn't matter. You went ahead and spent God's money on that food. Oh, yeah, it happens. It happens. It doesn't mean that, you know, you spend erroneously, like on things you don't need, even if it's things that you feel you need, but you put that before God, and that fear will make you spend the way you're not supposed to spend. So listen, you know, sometimes we stay in trouble for things that, you know, we do with good motives. You know, everything don't have to be about something bad. No. Mm-mm. Who told you that? No. Listen, we talk about paying rent or mortgage before we pay our tithes. that's wrong. I'm sorry. I need to roof over my head. I got to take care of that. I can't be scratching my head over where the rent money comes from. You shouldn't be scratching your head anyway. Because guess what? That's a necessity. And God says, I will supply all your needs. So, listen, think about how we just misstep. And when we misstep, now we're scratching our heads, right? Because now we've made it our care, our concern, and we're trying to figure out what's going on, and we're trying to figure out how we're going to make it work. Listen, it's God's job. Shh. Stop talking for a minute. Stop talking for a minute. That's God's job. Yes. That's his job. That ain't got nothing to do with Stephanie. Yes, I'm supposed to wake up every day with a mind, a heart, and a spirit to serve him. And as long as I'm serving him and putting him first and doing what I'm supposed to do, oh, he will make it happen. Yes. Come on, don't tell me you ain't tried and put this thing to the test. Yes. Well, you're always going to be scratching your head when you try to do God's job. So, a little overspending will twist you all up. Yes. And now you're out of alignment with God, and the enemy has told you that, yeah, you can try to make it work if you want to, the way you want to try to make it work. And, you know, now you all twisted. Mm-hmm. As my friend says, and how. All righty. So listen, let's get this thing together. Let's keep in mind what God's job is and what your job is. Yes. Yes. Okay? And don't believe the lies the enemy tells you. So, Amaya, we had a good time yesterday. Oh, in church folk day. So, we still have something on, some things on that list. So, next week, it will be continued, God spares, okay? So, if you enjoyed yesterday's conversation, or you're surely going to enjoy next week's church folk conversation, okay? So, today is Wow Wednesday. And you know how we get it done over here on Wednesdays. We always get it jump started with our girlfriend Viv and the socially conscious segment. And I don't know, I'm holding my breath, because if the numbers for COVID are worse this week than last week, I don't know what I'm going to do, y'all. Y'all might not hear from Pastor Steph for the rest of the broadcast today. So let's just hope and pray that it is not out of control. And we don't want to hear that wow story for today, because those wow stories are really kind of out of control. All right? And you know we've got our women of worship. Yes. And we're anticipating our techie talk with Dwayne. And we're going to close the morning down with our Faith Over Fear segment with Pastor Charlotte. Now, I know you're wondering how we get so much done in one morning. 2 hours. That's all it takes. Two hours. And we get all of that stuff done. Well, because God is amazing. Mm-hmm. He sure is. And we are so looking forward to having a good time today. And I'm so happy that you've joined us. Oh, what would we do without you each and every morning? So thank you so much for joining us. And I hope you about to tie up those boots, because you're going to need them to bolster you to the floor. Because I'm sure today is going to be a well day. All righty? So, we're going to take our break. So let's get that healthy breakfast. Let's text and call a friend and let them know that it's Wow Wednesday. And we're about to get it going. And hold on to your seat. We'll be right back.
Did you know there are numbers that can change your life? Blood pressure is known as the silent killer. You may not have symptoms, but it could still lead to deadly consequences like heart attack and stroke. Check your blood pressure regularly and know your numbers. Normal blood pressure is less than 120 over 80. Healthy habits like regular exercise, a good diet, and not smoking can help lower your blood pressure and protect your heart. Learn more about how you can check, change, and control your blood pressure at heart.org/HBP.
Well, good morning to you. You're on with this due time with Pastor Steph, and it is Wow Wednesday. God has brought us safely to the middle of the week. Oh, that's so exciting. Oh, at least I think so. God is great. God is great because, you know, here we are. We're up and running, and we're saying, wow, Wednesday like this, and God has given us a wonderful amount of breath to serve him, and that's the way we're getting our morning started, and I'm so happy to have you with us. So let's not waste any more time. You ain't got to listen to Pastor Stuff much more. We got our girlfriend Vivian on, and it's our socially conscious segment time. Let's say good morning to Vivian. Good morning, Vivian.
Good morning, Pastor Seth. How are you?
I am doing well. Thank you, Vivian. I'm so glad that you're with us this morning. Thank you for joining us. And what you got for us today?
Alrighty, today on Socially Conscious, let's take a look at those COVID numbers. Top five states and territories with the highest COVID cases in the last 7 days are, number one is still Florida with 151,300 cases in the last 7 days. That is, surprisingly, a decrease of over 6,000 cases since last week's report. Florida has seen its first decrease in 10 weeks. Number two, it's Texas with 97,771 cases. That is an increase of over 14,000 cases since last week. California is number three with 53,954 cases reported. That is an increase of over 2,000 cases since last week. Number four is Georgia with 32,484 cases. That is an increase of over 8,000 cases since last week's report. And number five is Louisiana with 29,847 cases. That is another increase of over 5,000 cases. So as we can see, another week of increases, and although Florida has seen its first decrease in over 2 months, we have a story regarding COVID numbers in Florida, thanks to a listener-submitted story. The reports say that 5,600 students are in quarantine due to COVID-19 exposure and or positive test results, and over 300 school district employees are also quarantining. Schools in Florida have been open for exactly 1 week today. And both of these numbers are increased numbers from Friday. The number of students from 1,200 to nearly 6,000 and 289 district employees to 316 team employees that have been quarantined from Friday to yesterday. So the school board is holding an emergency meeting today to discuss how to move forward. And I'm very, very interested to see whether they will come to their senses and mandate these masks, whether they will allow remote learning. What are they going to do? Because 1 week and we have 5,000 plus students that have to quarantine because they've been exposed or they tested positive to COVID. And these students were of various ages. So let's see what happens from here. So this and the following stories are all listener. The following three stories are all listener submitted stories. Thank you as always to our listeners. You are much appreciated. So now we have this story that reports that two people were killed during yet another bloody weekend in New York City alone. It is reported that there was a total of seven shootings reported in one overnight span this weekend, with multiple victims across the city. 16 people were shot and wounded in under 2 hours. They say the bloodiest scene happened on Monday just after midnight in Brooklyn when 8 people were wounded at a large party when gunfire erupted. Police say there were around 150 young people in attendance for a music video shoot when 2 unidentified men walked up and began shooting. All victims ranged from age 18 to 27 years old. Next story, we start by asking, how far would you go to impress your potential significant other? Well, cops are now looking for a MTA motorman after he let his female friend operate the D train on Friday. And, of course, in today's fashion, this was recorded and posted on social media. Reports say that during a date, 32-year-old Terrell Harris let 28-year-old Dominique Belgrade drive the train through multiple stations in Brooklyn. Mr. Harris, who was in his 11th year with the MTA, is now facing jail time. Of course, he is no longer working for MTA, and Ms. Belgrade may be looking at criminal charges as well. Our next story is of a teen mom who has been sentenced to 9 years in prison after the death of her 1-year-old daughter. Verfi Cutie reportedly left her 20-month-old daughter home alone while she celebrated her 18th birthday. The baby died of influenza and starvation after being left unattended for 6 days, as her mom traveled to London to celebrate her and her friend's birthday. If you ask me, 9 years is not enough time. Sadly, Haiti has been hit again with an earthquake that claimed just under 1,300 lives. Reports say that the 7.2 earthquake hit on Saturday, leaving a rising death toll of currently 1,297 victims, with 5,700 people injured and thousands more displaced and homeless. And things may only get worse as a storm is expected to hit Haiti on Monday. So let's keep Haiti lifted in prayer. And if you know of any churches or organizations working to give to Haiti, please consider giving what you can. And now for our wow story of the week, submitted by a listener. Thanks to a program that was put in place back in 1990 under Mayor Giuliani, thousands of Black and Latino homeowners have been pushed out of their home. A program called the Third Party Transfer Program. This allows private property to be seized on the grounds of unpaid utility bills or abandonment. Now, the purpose of this program was to give properties to developers to create low-income housing. But it didn't go that way. Instead, they are pushing, again, Black and Latino families out of their homes. And thanks to this program, people like Sherlivia Thomas, who owned property legally, are being forced to give up their homes with no compensation. Ms. Thomas owned two homes in a co-op building in the Bedford-Stuyvesant neighborhood, one apartment which she and her siblings inherited after the passing of their mother. But back in 2018, the building signed over their deeds to a partnering development. She and her two children were out of a home once that happened. And now Ms. Thomas and many others are currently a part of a lawsuit suing New York City. It is unlikely that these people will get their homes back, but they are asking for equity to be given to them, a collective total of about $1 billion. And I mean, this is just another example of how the system puts things in place to help the other side of the fence, while those on this side of the fence get the short end of the stick, to put it lightly. This has been Vivian with the Socially Conscious, giving you the news that we are following. And remember, if you have any wow stories you would like to submit, please feel free to direct message me on my Facebook. My username there is Vivian BM, and come back every Wednesday to find out if your story has been chosen. Again, thank you to all of our loyal listeners and to those that send in these stories, and a deep thank you to you, Pastor Steph. That's it.
Thank you for bringing us our Socially Conscious segment. And you know I got to go down the line. Well, we're going to put a little palms up for Florida, who managed to get a little drop in the numbers, We give God thanks for even the small amount of numbers. I know everybody else kind of went up, but at least those Floridians can see a little breather, and hopefully they'll continue to drop in their numbers.
Yeah,
the people who were killed over the weekend, they are really, there seems to be some level of incline all over the nation, not just like even here in New York. It's like everywhere over the weekend, they just go simply buck wild. I don't know what's going on. You know, I was talking to someone the other day, and I was reading, Vivian, where they said that from March of 2020, when we were being quarantined, they had this influx and increase of weapons being purchased. And I said to myself, well, if we all got locked down, where was there room to be going out by? Who was selling the guns? We were in the house. The nation was in the house. It wasn't like just one state or a couple states. We all got shut down. Now, we may have opened up, you know, differently, but if everybody got shut down at the same time, then who was buying and selling guns? Vivian, I tell you, girl, if you don't have Jesus, this stuff just, I don't understand how this stuff goes on. Now, I don't know. Maybe since I've quarantined, I done lost some level of sensibility. But this stuff just really makes me scratch my head. Does that make sense to you?
No, not at all. I guess the necessary things that we needed back then when it first shut down was toilet paper and guns, because couldn't find toilet paper nowhere, and they just shooting up the place.
I know. It's just so weird. You know, everybody, like you said, went on this spending spree for the toilet paper, and remember, we couldn't get no wipes and you know, the bacterial wipes. We couldn't get none of that stuff. Well, I guess the guns were going out of control, and we just didn't even know all of this stuff was happening. And I could not believe, and I kept hearing that. I continuously heard that. And then finally, when I read it for myself last week, I'm like, March of 2020 is when everything got shut down. So I don't know, Viv. I don't know. I do not know. I don't know, girl. I don't know. Now, wait. The mom who traveled, what is that? How do you travel leaving your baby home? I don't know, Vivian. We losing
it.
Maybe she was off somewhere buying a gun. I don't know. What in the world would make
and that must
you
mean she was
like that?
She lived alone, 18 years old, and you got a 1-year-old child, and you're living alone.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
just ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. This is just something that is just, it just really shows that we are straight out of control. Now, here's the story that I did miss. There was a break in me hearing part of your news. Please tell me again about the baby driving the train. I missed that whole thing. I just got a little piece of the end.
Okay, so it wasn't a baby. It was a 32-year-old man who let a 28-year-old woman drive the D train during their date. For some reason,
oh my
they're
goodness.
On a date while he's at work, and he allows her to drive the train on her own. They record it, put it on social media. Now he's facing jail time. He's facing criminal charges, and of course, he's no longer employed with MTA.
You really thought that putting that on social media was the way to go after doing something so dumb? Oh,
right.
Oh, my goodness. I missed all of that,
after
girl.
Being with MTA for 11 years.
Wow. Well, I wonder how many other times this was done or what else he's done that
right.
just didn't make, you know, just happened to make it to the social media site. Oh, Vivian. Now, help me understand. I didn't quite get your story about the homeowners.
So there was
I heard
a program
it,
that
I didn't,
was put
I didn't
in place.
Get it. Okay.
It was a program put in place back in the 1990s under Mayor Giuliani that was supposed to be helping people. It was supposed to help develop low-income housing for people, but instead, the program is now pushing Black and Latino people out of their homes, despite the fact that they own these homes. The one lady, she owns two homes in a co-op building, one that she inherited when her mother passed away, and this program that was supposed to be meant to help us is now hurting us, despite the fact that it was back in the 1990s. It's still hurting us today. So now there's this large lawsuit that is going on with tons of people versus New York City, and they're trying to get some type of compensation because they were pushed out of their homes that they owned and not given anything and just forced to now, like, go buy another or rent or, you know, whatever you do, you just got to get up out of here type of situation. And now they're trying to fight it, and they're trying to change this law that was passed back in 1990, and it's just this whole big ordeal.
So what did they use to push them out the home?
They just used the program. The program was put in place to allow people, building owners, to sell their building or people to buy these buildings if they were abandoned or behind on, like, their utility bills. Now someone can just come up and buy these buildings, and the people who live in it and own property in these buildings, they're just asked to leave or just forced, really, to leave. They're not paid for the property that they owned in these buildings. They're just asked to leave.
Wow, because they were behind on their utility bills? Oh, my gosh.
No, because the building, like, let's say you own a condo in a building, and the building owner is behind on their utility bills, or the building owner abandoned the property or sold the property. Even though you own property in that building, you own a condo in that building, you have no say because the owner of the building sold it or lost
right,
it or whatever
okay.
the case was, and now you just have to leave.
Wow. Okay. Because I got a little confused with the homeowner, the woman who lost her home. So, oh,
right.
Okay. Oh, my goodness gracious. And here it is 31 years later. And, oh,
right.
Wow. And they're still dealing with that rule and losing their homes.
Yeah.
Oh, I tell you. Well, we are always vulnerable to a lot of things. We have no control whatsoever. Wow. Well, Viv, you sure gave it to us again this week. Thank you so very much for giving
You're welcome.
Up our socially conscious segment, the news that we're following, and we pray that you have a blessed day.
Thank you. You too.
All righty. Woo, I tell you. News, and more news. Well, it's time for us to get that conversation going with our women of worship. So we're going to say good morning to our Elder Nitesha Moore. Good morning, Elder Nitesha. Oh, boy. Let's see if we can get this going here.
Hey.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, my beautiful sister and all of my beautiful sisters and listeners. How's everyone today?
Well, thank you. Well, thank you. I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I am blessed. I have no complaints. I mean, you know, I could complain, but for what? God is good.
Amen. 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 Thank you so much for joining us today. So happy that you could join us again this week. And you know how we do. We're starting off with those COVID numbers. We got a little drop in Florida numbers. Everybody else went up, but at least we got a little drop in the COVID numbers. What you thinking over there? Do you think we could be on our way?
I don't know, because everywhere else went up, right? Just, you know, and a 6,000 person drop is significant, and so we are grateful for that. But the fact that it's still going up in other places, you know, it still is something for us to be watchful, to be vigilant about, and wearing our masks and being safe. So we still have to, you know, we can't take it lightly.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's what got us in this trouble in the first place, because we, you know,
yeah,
we saw some decrease, and now we went buck wild. And school is opening. So, we're hoping that,
yeah,
you know, they don't, you know, they put those masks on and we don't get a turnaround in our time, in our time. So what else did Vivian talk about this morning? She talked about the people killed. We still got this crazy killing over the weekends, and we're talking about the fact that they said that this increase in the gun sales started way back in March of 2000, when we officially quarantined back then. The nation got shut down back then. Well, I mean, what's your thought on how in the world did we get an increase in gun sales and gun purchases during the time when we're supposed to be in the house?
You know, I think what happens is, right, when people are idle, right, you remember that saying our grandparents and mothers and used to say that idle time is the devil's time?
Oh,
I think,
yeah,
you know,
oh, yeah.
All of, you know, when we were sitting down and trying to figure out what to get ourselves into, those are, you know, people utilize that time to realize just how easy it is to get gun license and to be able to purchase guns. And depending on where you are, it really isn't that difficult. My husband decided that he wanted to get his gun license. And so what he did was, it was easier to obtain a gun license according to something like Utah laws or something like that. So he has a Utah gun license. And then that gun license, he's able to show that in New York and easily able now to get a gun license in New York. So I
really?
There's a way for you. Like, there was he went through a whole training and everything to get his gun license. But it's a Utah gun license. But now that he has a Utah gun license, he can now in New York City show that, hey, I already have a gun license. And then he
right.
could get a gun license in New York.
Wow. Now, does it make it easier or does it make it automatic?
It just makes it easier, not automatic.
Okay. Okay, okay. So you still have to jump through the hoops of New York State,
mm-hmm.
but because you've got this credential from someplace else,
right.
that kind of gives you that little bump. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I got you. Wow.
Yeah.
Well.
And so I think, again, that's just people sitting down, you know, with nothing to do, right? And saying, hey, I think I'll purchase a gun today.
Wow. Yeah. Interesting. And you know what? Probably a lot of other people are figuring this out, too. because it always starts off with the outer states. It's always been easier for the outer states to get guns, easier than it was for us here in New York to get credentials. So I guess there would be a better and easier method, and you ain't got to answer so many questions in the outer states. So if you could flash something like that, well, I guess it does make a little bit of sense, huh? Wow. Okay. Now, let's talk about the teen mom. Girl, go sit down somewhere.
I know. You know, hearing this story really does. Next week, you know, y'all pray for me. I'll be at a camp where I'll be talking to teen moms. And so this really just hammers it in me. I'll be spending the week talking to teen moms about Jesus and just, you know, giving them some life, you know, things, to tools to live by and so on and so forth. But I think this explains why people need support, right? Because at 18, you know, this was a desperate act for her to just want to be a kid. And once you have a child and you have responsibility, you are unable, like that privilege is now no longer. And if she didn't have support, right, someone to be able to watch that baby for her, this was a desperate and selfish act for her to just be a kid again and just wanting to celebrate turning 18. But Mama, you had a responsibility. You had a kid, and it's unfortunate that not only did you destroy the life of your baby, but you destroyed your own life simply because you wanted to be a kid, because you didn't want to grow up. You wanted to be a kid.
It's so true. It's so true. You know, that once you flip that switch, Elder Natisha, you can't go back. And listen, I had Shantice when I was 18. And so she's a product of a teen mom. And that switch goes off in your head that says, this is no longer my life anymore. You know, we kind of talked on that yesterday about, you know, the lies, the enemy tells you and you believe. And one of the lies is, you know, you can do whatever you want to do, you know, in this life. And just like you said, hey, them days are over. Wow. We're going to stick a pin right there, and we're going to let our other sisters join in on this conversation, and then we're going to come back to some of this other wow news that Vivian gave us. But thank you again so much for joining us today, and we're so happy to have you with us.
My pleasure.
Thank you. Let's say good morning to our Lady Tamika Evans-Jones. Good morning, Lady Tamika.
Good morning and happy Wow Wednesday. Kingdom carriers, you need to stand up and let the world know that we are out there, because when the world hands you lemons, you don't give them lemonade, you give them Jesus.
Amen. Oh, thank you so much for joining us today. We're so happy to have you with us. And we're talking. We always got to start off with them COVID numbers. You know, we got a little relief out in Florida. And you think it's hopeful? Think we're going to come down a little bit?
It's hard to say. You know, I'm trying to figure. I guess Florida might be waking up, especially with that much of a change, you know. And even in my workplace, because I work closely in the COVID department, and from time to time I do get Floridians on the line, you know, and they will say, I'm one of the few that wear masks, you know, I'm one of the few that stay home, I'm one of the few that, you know, will, you're more of a recluse than being out there, because it's just that dangerous, you know. Kind of do what you need to do for yourself, you know. It's obvious that, you know,
they are very lax with the mask, but just because everybody else is doing it doesn't mean that you have to do it.
Absolutely. So we've got this crime that's crazy over the weekend, and as you heard me discussing with Elder Nitisha, you know, the news says that, hey, we were buying guns more starting the same time that we were supposed to be quarantining and staying in. I mean, how does that cross over like that? We're supposed to be going in, and now we're buying guns and selling guns. Where does this transaction take place if everybody's supposed to be in their house?
I can't really fathom, because I don't purchase those type of things. However, you know, I'm thinking about it this way. During the pandemic, there was a lot of lax because there was no in-person, you know, person-to-person contact. So you had some people who were purchasing home renovation projects, you know, bookshelves, tables, those type of things where you could purchase at home. You had some people that were learning how to cook by looking at the internet. And I'm under the impression that because there wasn't as much person-to-person, that these purchases might have been, you know, through the internet. You know, and it's a sad thing because while some people are trying to do something constructive for their life to pass the time away, that this is what you do to pass your time away. You really need to find a hobby, something to do, and guns are not it.
Crazy. That's something interesting. You know, we can buy guns over the internet. I wouldn't be surprised, because if you can buy bomb supplies over the internet, surely I'm sure
Absolutely.
You can get your hands on a gun or two on the internet as well. Let's talk about the 18-year-old mom who went on her birthday spree, having a good old time over there. What are we doing with our baby in the home?
I remember in my youth, one of the things that was very, very clear. My mother had me when she was 21, and, you know, she often talked about her entire life changing. You know, I don't know who else might have been in this young lady's life, and my heart, you know, goes out to, you know, the fact that you lost your child. But I'm just trying to figure out, didn't you think of the consequences? Sometimes we're so adamant about getting me taken care of that we don't think, you know, and I wonder, you know, was there a neighbor? Was there a friend? You left this child with no one to care for her and just, you know, all about taking care of you. And I don't know how long she left, but still, even just leaving a child unattended by themselves for a day is way too much. And I don't feel that she's getting enough of a punishment. I mean, you had to think that you would be harming your child. I just don't fathom that. Life, like you said, does change from the time that that child comes into the world. It's never the same. And for you to think that it's okay for me to just step out and be me, it just doesn't make sense to me.
So you too don't, as Vivian, feel the punishment does not fit the crime?
I do not.
Okay. Elder Nitisha, I didn't ask you, does the punishment fit the crime?
No, I don't think that 9 years for a life being taken, for life being taken, and you do expect for an 18-year-old to think more clearly. However, when you look at the development of a person, the brain isn't fully developed until the age of 25. And so when you start looking at things like that, like you would expect and say, you know right from wrong, you're 18 years old, you should have had self-control, you should have had this, you should have had that. But how many of us at the ages of 40 and 50 don't have self-control, are still impulsive, right? So I mean, I do think that there absolutely ought to be consequences because this baby died. So there absolutely ought to be consequences, but I also think we have to consider the age of this individual and that it really was selfish. It was thoughtless. And in spite of what we think a person should know, I think those things have to be weighed as well.
Okay. All right. Thank you for joining us, Lady Tamika. And we're going to stick a pin there so we can say good morning to our Pastor Kim Brooks. Good morning, Pastor Kim.
Good morning, ladies. How are you?
Well, thank you. How are you doing over there today?
All is well.
Very good. Pastor Kim, you know Vivian always starts off with her COVID numbers, and we see a dip in Florida's numbers despite an increase in everybody else's numbers, the top five at least. And, you know, what's your thought? Do you think we could possibly be waking up in Florida?
You know, I'm telling you, these times that we're living in, you just don't know what tomorrow is going to hold. You know, like when we thought that everything was good and we were okay to take the mask off and things were getting better, then that's when everything shot back up again. So you just don't know from one day to the next. You know, that you're thinking that things are clearing up and then they come with another virus. And it's like, okay. So, you know, I'm telling you, you really just have to walk by faith and not by sight because you just don't know. You just don't know from one day to the next, you know, and you really just have to trust God, even when you cannot trace him, because I just, you know, it's just some very uncertain times that we're living in. You just don't know what's going to take place, what's going to transpire. You know, I mean, you go from bad to worse, and it's like, really? You know, because people are still, they're very alive, you know. People are in a place that they want to get back to a form of normalcy, but, you know, because of the fact that this virus still is out there, you know, and because a lot of people have not yet been vaccinated. But again, you know, now they've come out with another shot, you know, for people that that have pre-existing sicknesses and their immune system is low. So again, we just, you know, nothing seems to amaze me. You know, all I do is pray and ask the Lord to continue to cover me and my family.
Okay. We've got this gun purchase increase, which is being seen because every weekend there's this craziness with this gunfire going on in the nation, not in nobody's one state. And we're talking about the crossover of the increase in gun sales. And us quarantining, you know, they said we start quarantining in March of 2020. At the same time, they said they noticed an increase of gun sales. How are we getting this done? Why wouldn't our minds be on, okay, you know what, I need a gun. You know, that's where your head is. I need a gun and not more of, okay, we need to be bunkering down and getting in and getting safe cover. How does this even go on out here?
You know, I was thinking about just throughout the whole pandemic time of everything that was going on. And my thought was how people were getting this a lot of extra money, this pandemic money. People were getting all of this unemployment, you know, also to the extent that people were getting the money that they were getting, you know, at that point in time, people were doing a lot more. They were shopping. They even though they were supposed to have been sitting down somewhere, people were still out doing a lot of things. They were even talking about how people were even drinking so much more, you know, how people drinking, shopping, still doing a lot of things that they shouldn't have been doing. You would have thought that this was a time that people would have been realizing these are signs of the times, you know, let me turn from my wicked ways. But instead, it was like the spirit of deception was on an all-time high. So these people took it as an opportunity. Oh, I got this extra money, you know, let me go out and go get me some heat. You know, I don't know if that, you know, because, you know, I mean, I'm talking, street slang, people that are not saved. This is the mentality of them. You know, let me go out and get the expensive liquor. Let me go out and get me, you know, some guns. You know, let me get my gun collection together. So this is what men do, because this is men, male stuff, you know, unsavely mentality of men, you know. So they're going out, they're buying guns because they're high and intoxicated. You know, they're out there getting them mischief and things that they shouldn't be getting into. You know, and it's like, it was like the enemy has just always set us up for failure. He's always plotting and scheming of how and how he can kill, how he can steal, how he can destroy people. And this is one of the ways the enemy, you know, when you're naive and you're being deceived, you don't see that this was a plot of the enemy to let us get this extra money to go out there and start killing up each other. You don't see that this is the enemy's plot to have you getting as high as you can get, waking up, drinking from sunup to sundown. You don't see it. You don't see it, but that's what the enemy is. He is a deceiver. He is a deceiver. And when I start seeing how the numbers of murders and killings were just going up, and this is why. People, car accidents going up, you know, all over the world. People high, drinking, killing, because they were able to get these guns because they had the money to buy them. They had the money to go to the pawn shops and purchase them or wherever they got them from. They were able to purchase them off the streets, you know, from the gun stores, online, wherever. You know, they were able to get access to them. And that's just what the enemy wants. He wants to see us kill up each other, put new liquors on the market. Black folks will go buy them. Give a fancy you know?
Wow. Yeah. Right.
Say black because whites was committing crimes too. You know?
They were committing crimes. Too. Absolutely, Pastor Kim, absolutely. It's not just us. It's not just us.
No, it's not.
I had Shantice look up, and it says that 37% of people buy guns from people on Facebook or other online sites. So like you said, you know, this is their attention is shifting. The money is in their hands, and that's how they're choosing to spend their money. Pastor Kim, I want to ask you your thought on the young lady who decided to spend her 18th birthday, and she celebrated leaving her a baby at home. I think the baby was 1 year old. Leaving the baby, 1 year old, leaving her at home, and the baby died. And now she has been sentenced to 9 years in jail for that crime. And my question is, more and more these days, does the punishment fit the crime? In your opinion?
Well, I would say no, but I'm going to say yes, only because of the fact that she's going to be punished for the rest of her life. That's a lifetime punishment that she has to live with because of the fact that you left your child to go out and party. That's a constant reminder. When you think about the fact I don't have my baby, that in itself is going to torment her for the rest of far beyond 9 years. So, you know, that's a lifetime punishment. That's a death penalty that she has to live with because she was negligent. She left her child at home. And again, like my sisters were saying, you know, an 18-year-old, that she was still, you know, still growing into maturity. She was not fully grown to even make a wise decision. Even like when I was 14, about to turn 15, I was a baby, having a baby. You know, that's why I did not want a child. I was mature enough to know, and so was my mother, to make that decision that I didn't need a baby. I knew that I wanted to still live and enjoy teenage years of life, you know. And it's just unfortunate for that child that the life had to be taken because of a mother that, you know, was not responsible enough to say, well, hey, let me find a babysitter for my baby, you know, opposed to just making a decision that cost her child's life, you know. She set out to live with that for the rest of her life.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you so much, Pastor Kim, for your contribution and joining us today for our Wow Wednesday segment. And this week, ladies, I want to do something a little different. I want to have you fill in the blank. You know, yesterday This is Dwayne. So before I go any further and get into that, let's get our techie talk from Dwayne. Let's say good morning, Dwayne.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Hello, ladies.
How are you?
Good morning.
Good. Morning. I'm doing fine.
What's good? What you got for us today?
Well. T-Mobile, according to some reports on Sunday, was hacked. The service provider was hacked on Sunday by one single hacker. As of right now, T-Mobile doesn't know how much information that was leaked out to this individual. This individual on the black web is claiming to have stolen about 100 million accounts from T-Mobile and is trying to sell this information for 6 bitcoins, which is the equivalent of about $250,000. That being said, until all that information is worked out, whatever have you, I need for my listeners out there to understand that you need to call, whether you're with T-Mobile, AT&T, or Sprint, to please, 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 please get in contact with your provider and enable a thing called a prevention of SIM swap, which is what happened to me a few months ago, where a hacker can take your IMEI information, which is your a number that's associated with your SIM card, whether it's a physical SIM card or an eSIM card, and they can duplicate it and take over your phone information and pretend to be you, especially if they have your first and last name and your address and your social security number. The way I got it set up with T-Mobile is that in order for you to transfer or change your SIM card information, you will physically have to go to a store with your driver's license and prove who you are so that any information done on your account can be verified with the person coming into the store and not online. Mm-hmm. It's a good defense against all of this that's happening, and also get in the habit of changing your passwords every six months to a year. I know it's really a pain in the behind to do that, but it's a good security thing to do in order to protect your account. Okay? Please be safe out there, guys. If you have any questions or concerns, please get in contact with Dwayne McLeese at 646-361-4698, 646-361-4698.
Wow, thank you so much. That's vital information. Did you post something on Coach for Christian Life so we can remember that verbiage?
Yes, I did. I did post about the T-Mobile breach, and I will post about the precautions you can take to protect yourself as much as you can with the SIM swap issue.
Okay.
And what to do and what to say when you call AT&T and T-Mobile. I will post that as well. But the main thing I posted was about the T-Mobile breach.
Okay. And that would be great because now we will know what to call and say, because you just got finished saying some stuff that I guarantee I've already forgotten. And that's not going to help me later. And that's something that we definitely need to take care of, because quite a few of us are T-Mobile customers. And like you said, it doesn't even matter what your who your carrier is. Just get to call it. So thank you so much for equipping us, informing us, and then equipping us. And we thank you so much for your dedication to our listeners. And we pray you have a blessed day. Thank you so much, Dwayne.
Thank you, sis. Okay, you're welcome. All right. God bless everyone. Bye-bye.
All right, you too. Bye-bye. Remember now, go on Coach for Christian Life Facebook page, and you'll be able to get that information regardless who your carrier is. You need to be able to call and get that taken care of immediately, okay? Because if this person has this information, we don't know how quickly they're actually moving. Thank God for this information that we get for free. Oh, all right, ladies, I'm back. And again, it's our Wow Wednesday episode. And we're talking, yesterday we were talking about the lies the enemy tells us. And I came across something last night, and I thought it'd be nice to do something a little different today. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read you a part of, can I say advice? Yeah, possibly. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to read you a part of a sentence, and I'm going to ask each of you ladies to fill in the end. Fill in the blank with a piece of advice for our listeners. Now, everybody's not going to, it's the same thing is not going to come to everybody, and I'm not looking for the same thing to come to everybody, but I'm going to give you the beginning, and then you fill in the blank with what you feel God wants you to tell his listeners, okay? So, we're going to start with, stop complaining about how bad the people you date are. Instead, I'll read it again. Stop complaining about how bad the people you date are. Instead, Elder Natisha, what's the piece of advice you want to give God's people?
Instead, work on you. I think once you know, we attract who we are. Your level of self-worth, your level of self-awareness will allow you to raise your barometer, to raise your standards, to set the bar a little higher. So instead of looking at the individual that you've attracted and that you have, you know, dated, look at yourself and begin to work on yourself. Begin to fortify yourself. Begin to work on your spiritual life, that idea of, you know, seeing yourself the way that God sees you, so that you won't accept anything less than the worth that God has declared that you are.
Good start, good start. Lady Tamika, stop complaining about how bad the people you date are. Instead,
allow God to provide you the discernment, and allow him to choose your companions. A lot of times, we as women, when a, you know, when the male is introducing himself or trying to get our attention, sometimes we're so thrilled that, oh, somebody likes me, that you just open up the door. You haven't done your research. You know nothing about this individual. And, oh, you know, all of a sudden, within 2 days, this is the person for me. No, you have to have a lot more. Allow God to give you some discernment. Even when they're approaching, you know, Lord, should I, is this the one, or should I look for another, you know, or should I wait for another in our case, you know, because everything that waves doesn't necessarily, shouldn't be catching your attention. So allow God to pick you.
All right, all right. Pastor Kim, stop complaining about how bad the people you date are. Instead
of complaining, you know, I would say that it's important that we realize that everything has its time and it has its season in life. And people come into your life for different reasons and different seasons. And instead of complaining about, you know, the person and the relationships and finding everything bad that was in it, find everything that was good in it. Find the life lessons that you got out of that relationship. You know, talk about the good things, you know, how God, even though the enemy might have meant it for evil, how God turned it around for good, and how he allowed you to get out of the relationship because it wasn't for you, or how he allowed you to get some good things, or how it gave you more wisdom and it gave you more knowledge, you know, because it's always easy to complain and see the negative, but we always have to see God and see the good in bad situations.
All right, all right. Okay, ladies, you need to have friends you can be vulnerable with, because, and I'll say it again, Lady Tamika, you need to have friends you can be vulnerable with, because
that's where your strength lies. The fact that I can be me, the real me, you know, not all the pretty, the glossy, you know, sometimes we have moments where we're just not that, you know, at our best. And I need to be able to be myself around you so that we can pray together, so that in my moments of weakness, I can lean on you just for support, for that encouragement, that attagirl, that type of thing, so that in my weaker moments, I have the strength. I don't always have to put on all the powder and the gloss and the makeup and the this and the fragrance and that. You see me for who I am, and that way you can speak to that part of me and help me to be stronger in my weakness.
Mm. Ooh. Pastor Kim, you need to have friends you can be vulnerable with, because
that you could be vulnerable with, because a friend is going to stick with you to the end, through the good, through the bad, through the ugly. And no matter what I might be going through, no matter what season I might be in my life, a friend is going to understand me, you know. A friend is going to look past my imperfection, you know. A friend
is going to be able to understand me even when I'm having a bad day and I'm not at my best. Friend is not going to look down on me. Instead of looking down on me, they're going to be the one to pick me up, you know, in those vulnerable moments. So we need to know what the true definition of a real friend is, you know, because some people call themselves friends, but they're really frenemies, you know. They're in your life to you know, to celebrate your downfall. But that's not what a real friend does. A real friend will truly, truly understand you, and they will love you, and they will stick, you know, they'll stick by your side, you know. They'll be there to encourage you, you know, through it all. So that's my thought.
All right. Elder Nitesha, you need to have friends you can be vulnerable with because
that's the beauty of that's the beauty of the cross, right? It's how we relate to God, and it's how we relate to one another. It's safety in having a true friend that's going to be honest with you, tell you the truth, having a friend that you can confess your sins to, having a friend that's not going to allow you to just be, you know, stay in your wrong thinking, to stay in places. And then we need places to just rest our hearts, right? We often talk about all of these things we hear in the socially conscious segment, just how difficult and how heavy life can be. When you listen to the corona numbers, when you listen to all of the bloodshed and the killings and the murderings, you listen to an 18-year-old who was so desperate that she would just leave her child in order to go and have some fun. Like, life is no joke. Life can be very challenging, and we need someone to just rest our heart with. And that's the beauty of what God has given us in the cross. It's how we relate to him, and it's how we relate to each other, and how we can rest in the safety of divine friendship.
All right. Pastor Kim, God don't care how many friends you got on Facebook and Instagram. You finish that up.
That's right. God doesn't care how many friends that you have on Facebook and Instagram. He wants us to know that, you know, that we are a friend of God. You know, God is that friend that will stick closer than a brother. You know, it's not about the numbers. You know, it's not about, you know, how popular that you are. Just knowing that you have God, you know, I mean, you can gain the whole world and lose your soul. You know, you can gain all of the friends in the world, but still not have anything or feel lonely or like you have nothing if you don't have God in your life. So it's so important that we don't put our confidence in man, because man will let you down. Man will deceive you. Man will turn their back on you. But when you have God, you have the best friend that you can ever have.
All right. Elder Nitesha, God don't care how many friends you got on Facebook and Instagram.
Not at all, because no matter how many friends you have on Facebook and Instagram, you will still never have as many followers as Jesus had. When we read the Bible, you see that everywhere that Jesus went, Jesus had followers. And he taught you how to deal with the followers. Many of the followers, right, they were part of the crowd. And it was the followers, the crowd, that turned on him and said, crucify him. Those same crowd, those same followers, when we read our Bible, we see how Jesus interacted with those followers. Not every follower is in your life for good. Some are just watching. Some are just reporting. Some are just spectating. And some are waiting for the opportunity for your downfall and to turn on you. So that's not where you want to develop your identity. That's not where you want to develop your worth, because it'll always leave you wanting.
All right. Lady Tamika, God don't care how many friends you got on Facebook and Instagram.
So a lot of times we post things and we always put our best foot forward when we're entering something on Facebook or any form of social media. You may be going through something personally and not necessarily placing it on Facebook. But when you think about God, God knows all of the components of you, the good, the bad, the ugly, when you're sick, when your dispositions are not always best, when you said that word that you shouldn't have said or you thought that thing about a person. I mean, you know, it's one thing to see an action. It's another thing to see. It's entirely to see a thought. You haven't even done it, but it's lurking around in the recesses of your mind, and God knows that portion. And he still says, I love you. So, and that love is so much greater than any like, than any care, than any emotion that anybody on Twitter, Facebook, or any other form of social media could ever amount to.
Okay. We're back to you, Elder Nightisha. Beware of hanging out with people who are different than you because
we don't want to. The Bible talks to us about being unequally yoked. And regardless of how strong we think we are, the Bible tells us that we are born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And that means that there are weaknesses in us. Regardless of how long and how deep, you know, I believe that my roots are in God. I understand that by hanging with the wrong person, I could be influenced by some of their behaviors, by some of their mindsets, by some of their ideologies. And I have to maintain the download that I receive from my prayer life, my worship life, and my study life in the Word of God. And in order to maintain that, it is imperative that I walk with like-minded individuals. I don't need someone saying, oh, lighten up. It's okay. It's not that serious. It's not that deep. No, it really is that deep for me. Because like Pastor Kim is always saying, these are the last and evil days, and it really is that serious. For someone to say, oh, child, please, if you fornicate one time, you fall, it's okay, it's not a big deal. No, it is a big deal. And you don't want that type of mindset infiltrating your holiness, infiltrating the boundaries and the standards that you've set up for yourself. So you want to be equally yoked with the individuals that you're walking with.
All right. Lady Tamika, beware of hanging out with people who are different than you because...
Well, this one speaks to me personally, you know, in portions of my youth. I found myself more isolated, and I kept trying to figure out, God, why can't I hang with them? Why can't I do what they do? And the Lord made it very clear to me, I made you the way that I did because that's the way I want you to be. Those intricate things about you, the things that you don't do that others don't do, I mean, the things that you don't do that others do is for my glory. And so being not trying to connect with all of those different things. Each time that you start hanging with these people, you change a little portion of the thing that he created you to be. You alter that little thing, that expression or that response is no longer there because you're aligning yourself with stuff that he had not created for you to be, and you're tainting the work that he has created. So why not just be who he wanted you to be? And that doesn't mean that you have to connect with all different people, because each time that you do, you alter what God created.
Wow. Pastor Kim, beware of hanging out with people who are different than you because...
Amen. We have to be careful hanging with people that are different from us because, you know, I think about Psalms 1. It said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way
of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You know, so it's important that as Christians, you know, that we hang around like-minded people, because once transformation has taken place, you know, old things have passed away, and behold, new things have become new. And when God is doing a new thing in our lives, we have to be so ever careful. We have to be careful for nothing with hanging around those same friends that we were coming up with, that we were drinking and smoking and partying with, you know, because you become who you hang around. You know, we're like products of our environment. So it's not that we don't love them. It's not that that we're better than them, or they're not still our friends, or that we don't love them, but it's just not expedient. You know, some things are not a sin, but it's just not expedient that I continue to hang around people that are not going in the same direction that I'm going in, because, you know, the enemy, you know, again, it's his job to sift us as wheat, you know. And even when a person, once you get saved, you know, the enemy, what he wants to do is he wants us to be in a backslidden state. He wants us to go back to those ungodly ways, you know. So we just have to be so ever careful for nothing, and just like the scripture said, be steadfast and unmovable, always abiding in the work of the Lord. You know, we can't afford to move. We can't afford to get out of that place in God. We got to meditate on God day and night, and continue to read the word of God, and to do everything that we have to do to continue to stay safe. Because, again, the enemy desires to sift us as wheat, and he wants us to go back, because he is an accuser of the brethren.
All right. Lady Tamika, I'm going to let you end this as you choose. Stop pretending to be someone you are not.
Again, God created you to be a certain way. And each time that you try to alter what he has created, he divinely instructed those expressions, those little quirks. That was how he created you, and that's how he wanted you to be. Stop trying to be something that you're not. The actuality or the truth of the matter is you can only pretend for so long. People see you, and just because you have it all glossed up and you got the little extra makeup on, underneath it all, somebody can see the real true you. And those that are divinely instructed by God that are in your life, trust and believe. They already know who you are underneath all of the fluff and the pomps and circumstances. And just let the true you shine through so that God can do his work in you.
All right. Pastor Kim, stop pretending to be someone you are not.
Amen. You know, we have to stop pretending to be somebody that we're not and be who you are. You know, a lot of times what we try to do is try to fit in, you know, with people, you know, but we got to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, you know, and not be conformed to this world, you know, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, because everything starts with a thought and a mind. And a lot of times, you know, we want to try to fit in with people, you know, but you can't come down to where people are. You have to compel them to come up to where you are. You know, sometimes we want to just, you know, because we love people, or we, you know, want to be accepted, or because we want to, you know, feel loved or whatever, you know, so therefore, or whether it be a man or a woman, you know, sometimes, you know, we try to be somebody that we're not for all of the wrong reasons. But, you know, trying to be somebody that you're not, eventually your true colors are going to come shining through, you know, so be true to yourself.
All right. Elder Natisha, stop pretending to be someone you are not.
Yeah, stop pretending to be someone you are not. God, like, you are an image bearer. God created you in his image, and in that, all of his goodness, his love, his righteousness, and his wisdom is a part of the image that he has placed upon you. Therefore, when you actually forfeit the gloriousness of who you are in order to try to step into someone else's shoes, you're saying to God that what he created in you is not good enough. Like when you decide that I want to look like her, I want to function like this individual, I want to be that, you're saying to God that what he created and everything he has deposited in you is not good enough. And in that case, I would say take a deeper look. Take a deeper look. It may be that you are undervaluing some of the beauty that God created in you. You are an image bearer. Everything about you is unique, and it is designed specifically for you. There is literally no one else in this world like you. Be you. And in doing so, you will be an image bearer that represents God's love in the world, God's righteousness in the world, and God's image, his wisdom in the world. You are enough. You really are. You're enough.
All right. Pastor Kim, Christian lifestyle books are great.
Yes. All books that God have made for his glory are great. You know, Christian books, you know, they're edifying. You know, the word of God, you know, is made. It's our basic instructions before leaving earth, you know, and it's imperative that we read the word of God, that we study the word of God, you know, as young Christians, we need God's word, you know, because his word is a light unto our path. And so it's a good thing, you know, to get into the word, because the Bible tells us that we should know the truth and the truth shall set us free. The Bible is truth, and it is a path to our day-to-day living. So we should read God's word.
All righty. Elder Natisha, Christian lifestyle books are great. Did I lose you, Elder Natisha?
Sorry, I was talking to mute.
I was saying that
Christian lifestyle books are as Pastor Kim said, they're edifying. I'm an author of a Christian lifestyle book about prayer. However, it is still my experience and my interpretation, right, of what the Bible is saying. The best source of information is your ability to dive into the word for yourself. And if the Christian lifestyle book is a tool that fortifies you and gets you to the place of going into the Bible, because I know sometimes people find it difficult, specifically younger Christians who are just starting out in their journey. The moment you start reading the Bible, you get sleepy. I remember those days. Mm-hmm. The moment I would open my Bible to try to read, you would get sleepy. And so those, you know, the Christian lifestyle books are edifying, but let them be not the be-all. They need to be a introduction or a start, a launching pad for you to dive deeper into the Word of God.
All right. Lady Tamika, Christian lifestyle books are great,
but they only give you a portion of what you need. God himself will give you everything. He has the whole script in his hand from beginning to end. And so as you're reading the lifestyle book, it's a beautiful thing to enhance a particular area of yourself. However, God has the whole caboodle, kit and caboodle, the whole thing from beginning to end. So why not go to the person who made you, who created you, who knows all about you for every single solitary need? You can use the lifestyle book, but look more to God.
All right, all Ladies, we are going to close down by saying, if you can't feel God at this moment, Elder Natisha.
If you can't feel God at this moment?
If you can't feel God at this moment, yes.
If you can't feel God at this moment, I understand. I understand what it's like to be in seasons when it's hard to trace God, when it's hard to understand what God is doing, when it's hard to figure out and put a pulse on what it is that God is doing. But here's what I will say to you. Trust him. Trust him. Trust him. Sing songs of worship. This is not the time for you to lean to your own understanding. This is the time for you to stand still. This is the time for you to dive into, to connect to a friend who is godly and who can lead you into prayer, that can lead you into worship. This is the time when you, while you can't feel God right now, this is the time for you to connect to your church family, to connect to any of us who are on this broadcast. This is the reason why we're here. This is the reason why we're doing this, is because we want to connect with you. We want to be able to pray with you and pray for you and pray you through. And so that's not my encouragement, is that, no, I understand. I get it. I know that there are some seasons, and there will be seasons when we cannot trace God and when we don't feel God and we can't understand what he's doing in our lives, but that is not the time for us to run. It is time for us to stand still and be intentional about connecting with God. And if we can't get to him for ourselves, to connect with some other godly people that can help us to connect with God until we're able to stand on our own again and feel him.
Amen. Amen. Lady Tamika, if you can't feel God at this moment,
I would take us back to even on the cross, when Jesus was on his way in his physical body and was leaving. At one point he said, God, why have you forsaken me? So that was that one time where even he couldn't feel God. And it lets us know that there will be times when it may appear as though God is not there, as though God is not listening, as though he doesn't know what you're going through. But I want to say to anyone that God sees, he knows. He sees it all. Even that stuff that you wouldn't want to tell a sister or a brother or a friend, he even sees that. And at that time is when you don't give up, and that you know that he sees and that he is there. And so I would say to you to push. Push. That means pray until something happens. Pray until that situation moves. Reach out to your brothers and sisters that you can. That one that we just talked about, being able to be confident, being able to reveal yourself to that one individual. Will you pray with me? Will you help me in this moment that I'm in so that I can get from this point to another? So when you don't feel the presence of God, continue to push. Pray until something happens in your life.
Amen. Amen. Pastor Kim, you have the final word today. If you can't feel God at this moment.
Amen. If you cannot feel God at this moment, then it is imperative that sometimes we seek God to find out what the spiritual forecast is. Because, again, back to what I always say, we're in our last and evil days, and we have to see by way of the Spirit that God is closer to us than we can ever imagine. God is, in James 4:8, it says, if you draw nigh to God, then he will draw nigh. But guess what? If you don't want God, God is not going to force himself upon you. But know, people of God, that God is always there. He said he would never leave us nor forsake us. But what we do is we leave God. And I think a lot of us, because of this pandemic and because of the church doors being closed down, guess what? Even though the church is closed, God is never closed. He's still on the main line 24/7. All you got to do is call him up and tell him what you want. But sometimes when we feel so far away from God, the Bible says that some things only come by prayer and fasting. This might be a time that you might want to up your prayer life. This is a time that you might need to up your consecration life. This is a time that 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people, which are called by my name, if they will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal the land, and my eyes shall be open and my ears attentive to the prayer that is made in this place. This is a time, people of God, glory be to God, that we have got to get closer to God. We have got to understand, glory to God, the reason why we cannot feel God is because we have been in a backslidden state, because we have allowed the church to keep us conformed. We have allowed the church to keep us rooted. But guess what? The church is in you. No matter if the church doors don't ever open up, we have got to find our way back to God while the blood is yet running warm in our veins. Like my sister said, you got to push. You got to pray until you feel something happen. You got to dwell in that secret place. You got to get in that place. You got to find you a secret closet. You got to find somewhere that it's just you and God. I get it. I know many of us have been in a place, in a dark place. We've been in the valley of dry bones, but God is telling us to harden not your heart when you hear the voice of God speaking. And today is your day to come back home. God bless you.
Amen. You ladies have definitely given a word from the Lord of advice. And we thank God for your presence. We thank God for you allowing God to use you this morning. And we pray you have a blessed day. Thank you for making Wow Wednesday what it is. Be blessed, my sisters.
Amen.
You too.
Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, before we move ahead with the close of our morning, we are going to hear from our listener. Our listener has a comment, and we always like to hear from the listeners. Good morning, Shantice.
Good morning. How are you?
How are you today? I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. So this comment was from way back in the beginning.
Okay.
Speaking on the guns, the purchasing of the guns. So a listener sent in, people also buy guns for protection. While there was a shortage of items during the pandemic, people were willing to do whatever to get these items.
Thank you so much. A thought. There's a thought. We appreciate you, listener. We thank you, Shantice, for reminding our listeners' thoughts. And somewhere in, thank you, somewhere in all of what was said, there's a response to that. So thank you so much. Have a blessed one.
You too.
Thank you. Oh, it is Wow Wednesday. And just like on Mondays, we can't close without the switch tip. On Wednesdays, we just really can't close without our Faith Over Fear segment with our Pastor Charlotte. Good morning, Pastor Charlotte.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you this morning, ladies and listeners?
I'm well, thank you. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank God.
All right now. Okay, so today I'm going to start you off a little differently with your Faith Over Fear segment. I'm going to do you like I did the ladies. You have two words. Be bold. How do you fit that in to your Faith Over Fear segment this morning? Be bold.
Amen. Being bold, we have to know, first we have to know who we are and whose we are to be able to be bold in the Lord. Know that you, when you come over to God's side, that he gives you, and he has already equipped you with all things that you need to be able to stand for him. We got to know that we are not just his friend, not that just we inherit in his family, but we are bold soldiers where we are able to go out there and be able to spread the good news and be able to know that we are the ambassadors of him. Sometimes people only see us, and they have never, ever seen the Bible. And there's something about your walk, something about your talk, something about how you respond that they know that you are different and separated from the world. Be bold. Be bold in what you are able to tell somebody and showing them the word and having that confidence and knowing that what you are saying, that you are already with God and allowing him to speak through you. Being bold is where that you know that the faith that you have, that we walk by faith and not by sight, because we are bold and know that God not only is with us, not that only that God is through us, but he has a plan for our lives, and it's already done and it's already sealed. The fear part comes in because sometimes we won't be able to see that what other people see in us and what God has in us, and we become fearful because we think that we cannot do it and that we don't deserve it and that we don't have the equipment in us, you know, that God had already planted. That's when our fear comes in. Then we start looking at others. The crowd that we be with, if they are not going in the same direction with you, you will fall. And that's where the fear comes in, because now you are on the side of the fence. You got one leg hanging on this side. You got one leg hanging on that side. You need to be able to know what side leg that you want to stand on. So stand on the right where the power is. Go on the right where Jesus is sitting on the side of the Father. Go on the right side that you know that you know that you are able to see your way into the kingdom of God. Be able to know that your faith will continue to press forward and be able to know, do we deserve it? No, we don't. But by his grace and mercy is what's able to give us. Remember that Jesus got on the cross for you. Be bold, because our Father, our Abba Father said so, and there's nothing that can come up against us. Our Father sends us out there with other people. That's why he always sends us. He sent his disciples two by two, because you're able to have that strength. Be bold and be able to go back and get your brothers and sisters. Be bold. Oh, God, I thank you, Lord. Be bold, because if he did it for me, he'll do it for you. He's done it for all of us that's on this line. You just got to be able to connect into it if you think that you don't have it. But once you give God a yes, all the boldness should come over you. It's like more of like your skin should be able to feel the boldness, to feel the confidence, to take away the fear. Put your flesh under subjection, because that's the fearful part, and be able to know who you are and whose you are. Be bold in the Lord, and you'll have faith over fear on segment on today. Love you. Be bold.
Thank you so much, Pastor Charlene. And we give God thanks for your energy and strength and your help today to deliver our Faith Over Fear segment. And we pray you have a blessed day.
Thank you. You do the same.
Thank you. let's get that benediction. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. That's 1 Corinthians 15:58. You know, I always try to do a recap. This was so powerful today. I feel like I can't even add to what all the ladies have said today, no matter what the line was and how they so eloquently finished off. But I want to look at the scripture here today that that was chosen. And it says, let me read it again. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. And I always try to pick a benediction that kind of talks about what that closes us up. And that closes us. You know, we talked about beware of hanging out with people who are different, that God doesn't care how many friends you have on Facebook and Instagram. Stop complaining about how bad the people you date are. Instead, you need to have friends you can be vulnerable with, because stop pretending to be someone you're not. Christian Lifestyle Books of Christ. If you can't feel God at the moment, and you look at this verse, it says, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast. Every single one of those verses talked about us being steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because at the end of the day, we know that our labor is not in vain. We want to hear at the end of the day, good and well, my faithful servant, that he's going to let us into the kingdom, that the door will not be shut on us, and he won't be looking at us saying, hey, I'm sorry. I know you did all of that stuff, but that wasn't for me. That was for you. Can you imagine how shocked, disappointed, and unprepared you will be standing in front of God, and you just walking up saying, hey, I did this, and you calling out all these accolades, all of these things that you've done, and the Lord looks at you and goes, I'm sorry, that had nothing to do with me. You step over here on the left-hand side. Shantis always talks about the right-hand side and the left-hand side first. And she always says, I don't want to be on the left. Well, that's what I want us to think about today. God encouraged me and gave me the order to let the ladies finish today. Let them give the last piece of each of those lines. Because, see, you need to understand and fit in to each and everything that was on the table. Because all of this stuff fits us. All of this stuff addresses our everyday movement. We're doing something that has something to do with one of those lines. If we're in the dating process and we just tired, you know, I just don't want to say, I get so tired seeing these same old things just keep going and going and going and going. And one of the ladies said, check yourself. Why is everybody else wrong? Have you ever heard somebody, everything they say, it's always somebody else. It ain't ever them. And I'm saying to myself, well, how you never fit into the equation? We don't ever feel like we need to step up to the plate and change and modify and shift some of the stuff that we do. And that's why we're going to find ourselves standing before the Lord going, you're going to be out of words. You're going to be out of words. Because, see, it's always somebody else. Are you that person? Are you that person that just friends everybody and answers everybody's friend request with a yes? Because, see, we're always taught throughout this Bible that everybody ain't our friend. And we need to pattern our friends behind certain components of the Lord. Is that you? Are you so lonely and so vulnerable in this life that you just pick up any old body? We talked the other day about the strays. You just pick up the strays. Are you that individual? Are you not being selective about who God has for you to be friends with? And you're picking up just any old body? Is that you? Oh, my. You need to have friends you can be vulnerable with. Is that you who just has that wall up? That wall is up, and you can't let nobody in. then how is somebody going to be able to witness to you? How is somebody going to be able to help bring you out of an area and a time of your life that you need to just come from out of that? But because that wall is up, because all the damage that was done to you, all the people who have hurt you, all the people who have disappointed you, that's what has that wall so built up that you can't step out and let God in. And we've got to make sure that we are positioned to be ministered to. Because everybody you hear on this broadcast was ministered to. That's how we got to this point. Because we opened up no matter what happened. Because many of us come from abuse very early in life. And you would look at us now and not have any idea that that's where we were. And that's what you need to step into. But are you not being vulnerable to God? Because see, if God is sending his people, then ultimately it's God who's coming for you. Don't forget that. God has to use earth here, the soil we walk on, to bring us up to him. See, it's just not him and us. That's why he surrounded us with his people. So you can't have the wall up. You can't be standing over in the corner. You can't always be whining and crying and this ain't right and that ain't right. No! Stop. Take a breath and become vulnerable. Let something happen. Stop being and pretending to be something and someone you're not. Because how will they know who they're speaking to? Ooh, if I think I'm speaking to Pastor Kim, but it's really Elder Natisha, then how am I going to get to who I need to get to? Because all I'm seeing is this person. But behind the scenes, again, that's about being vulnerable, letting your real self be revealed. Stop worrying about what's not perfected, because it's not going to be perfected if we're pretending to be someone else. If you don't like the way you look, then change it. If you're too fat, stop eating the wrong things. You can eat all you want. Just eat all the right things. Eat the word of God. Because every day here, we have a health tip, except on Wednesdays. We have a health tip that God has introduced us to. How we can change our life. We can change what's on the inside that will ultimately show on the outside. So if we're so busy pretending to be one thing, but that's not who we really are, then how is the real change going to take place? Stop putting the facade up. Christian lifestyle books are great. Oh, they're wonderful. And they may be inspired by God. But the true living word of God comes from that Bible, where people always challenge, man wrote the Bible, and, you know, how do you know that the Bible is true? Because God has shown me that my great-great-grandmother and grandfather talked about that same word. And that same word I can walk on today in 2021, and they were walking on in 1945. What other book in this world can you say the same thing about? If you don't feel God at this moment, try Jesus one more time. Just try him one more time. And then when you do that, try him one more time. Try Jesus one more time. And then rest right there. Don't move. Don't move too soon. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth, because they will always serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my due time crew one more time for coming. coming through big time for us today. And I want to thank you as a listener for hanging out with us today. And I pray that you will be a hearer, not just a hearer, but a doer. Remember, choose Jesus as your personal Savior right now, because tomorrow and later is not promised to us. Until tomorrow, where's Therapeutic Thursday if God spares our life? I love you.